Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Courtesy of the River Islands guest line, isn't it time you discovered the islands? Let's welcome in Brian Geltzeiler, host on SiriusXM NBA Radio, also a contributor at NBA TV. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
Good, guys. How we doing?
Hanging in.
What do you think of Pat Spencer?
It's awesome. It's fun. Right? Having a blast watching him play. Plays with a lot of fire, a lot of heart. Gay doesn't skimp on the defensive end of the floor, handles a ball well, keeps it moving. He can shoot it. I mean, this is an example of someone that works really hard at their game and gets himself a whole heck of a lot better. But 44% from three, he's been great. He's been terrific. And for right now, for the Warriors, they need some depth. They need some guys that will guard a little bit. He works hard on that end of the floor. Spencer's a nice little revelation on a team that could use some added depth that has kind of left our guy Jonathan Kuminga for dead. You know I'm not going like that.
Yeah.
BG, no, you're spot on. We were just having that conversation, and we also were just throwing things around because you said Spencer's fun, and that's what it's about, right? And we'll see where it goes. But we were talking about Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, where he's at in his career offensively. Do they overlap? How would you respond to that? Because that's a concern I share with Steiny moving forward, that I think maybe that's a bit overkill. What do you think?
No, I don't necessarily think it is. Listen, the thing with Butler, and Butler has proven to be this over time, which is to be a chameleon with his game and adapt to where he is and who he is. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely a little bit of overlap. But Jimmy's a superior offensive player. And, you know, when you look at how the Warriors play sometimes, having guys that can shoot it from the mid-range, having guys that can get their own shot, having guys that are, for lack of a better term, a good two-point player, is important to this team. And he is absolutely that, Jimmy Butler. So, again, shooting 51%, almost 52% from the field this year, 46.5% from three, but he's discriminating in that, averaging 19, 6, and 5. Like, there's no complaints here with how Jimmy Butler's playing on both ends of the floor. And listen, for the Warriors right now, you would hope in general that things are going to improve for them just on the basis that the schedule has been so brutal. I mean, quite frankly, I wish Steve Kerr would stop complaining about it because I think at times it gives the players an excuse when he's complaining publicly about how tough the schedule has been. And I think that there's got to be a little more of this is what it is, this is who we are, and we got to do this next man up thing. And I think no one, you know, more than Pat Spencer exhibits what you need to do with this next man up thing. So I do think Kerr complains about it a little bit too much. With all that said, I think this is, listen, you need good defensive players on this team. And Jimmy Butler is a really good defensive player. He has certainly done more than hold his own here on both ends of the floor. Again, 19, 6, and 5. So I'm more concerned about where they are in the standings and if they can stay healthy enough once the schedule gets a little friendly to them, more than how the team's composed, if that makes sense, guys.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. And we're joined by Brian Geltzeiler, host on SiriusXM NBA Radio. He's also a contributor at NBA TV. You know, we're at about the 25-game mark, coming up to, a third of the way through the season. As you look at the Golden State Warriors, do you think any differently of them now than you did at the beginning of the year? Does it feel like the uphill battle might be more uphill than you thought? Are they kind of where you thought they were? How would you assess now from what you thought at the beginning?
They are who I thought they were. And the thing for the Warriors is this. What my worry for the Warriors was preseason, and it remains now, is, listen, the Warriors, they want to advance in the playoffs, are going to have to be a top six team in this conference. And I think it's going to be really hard to do. And right now they're sitting in the eighth seed. But to be able to you know, they're four games in the loss column outside of the sixth seed. And if their road has to start in the play-in tournament, I worry about them having a chance to advance and really being a major factor in the playoffs. I really do. Mm. If they can be in that top six, and the time off in not being in the play-in tournament, I think is going to be vital to this team because of their age. And again, there's plenty of young players on this team. But the bottom line is this. For them to have the success that they need to have, it's going to be about Curry, Green, Butler, and Horford. That's it. That's what it's going to have to be about. And those guys are going to need a little bit of blow at the end of the season before they get into the playoffs. If they have to go and even win one game in a play-in tournament and have to kind of wind themselves up to get ready to play in a game, you know, in a do-or-die game and have that kind of pressure on them, I mean, maybe one doesn't kill them, but if they got to go two, that's a problem. I would much rather see them in the top six, and that's my big concern for them. I knew they'd start a little slow. I knew rest and injuries would certainly be a factor. I think that's a factor all year, but I am not thrilled now as we're looking at the quarter pole in the NBA season, beyond the quarter pole for the Warriors right now, approaching the one-third pole, that they're four games in a loss column out of the sixth seed.
Man, good stuff, BG. I got to admit, man, you brought him up. I was the president of the JK fan club, and I'm disappointed basketball-wise in him and his efforts. But with that said, I just threw it to my partner. With him basically being a DMP, is this hurting his value if that day does come mid-January, BG, where they can move him? I mean, do you think this is a good look?
No, it's a bad look for everybody. And you know, and listen, Darryl, we've talked about this a lot. I have been an unabashed defender of Jonathan Kaminsky.
Yeah.
I will tell you that, right? I have been an unabashed defender of him. And I'll even take it to a personal note. My son, quite recently, like last month, played in a showcase event against Jonathan's younger brother, Flory. And I was able to, I really didn't spend time with his family, but I met him a little bit.
Yeah.
They're very nice, good people. Like, this is a good family. Like, it's, I look at all of this with Kuminga, and I feel like Kerr is a little harsh with him. He really is. He's got to understand Jonathan, his style of play that he excels at, a different style than what the Warriors do all the time. I also will say this. I have to hang some of this at Jonathan's feet because Jonathan is very resistant to even meeting Kerr in the middle at times. And I think Kerr, in all fairness to Steve Kerr, went into this season with the idea, because they want to build Jonathan's trade value, that I'll meet him in the middle a little bit in some of these spots because he's such a good athlete and such a good player. We do need him on the floor. I think the one that's kind of, you got to blame a little more. And listen, I still think Kerr's got to figure this out, but I do blame Jonathan a little bit for being a little stubborn here and not giving Kerr what he's looking for and what he needs and making the adjustments he needs to make. Listen, you got paid already right now. And right now it's about participating and being there and being able to be on the floor for this team because you're more than athletic enough and more than good enough. But I will also say this. If you're going to give them DMP coaches decisions, doing it 2 months in advance of the trade deadline is the time to do it because maybe they snap his head into gear a little bit. Maybe he realizes that I'm going to have to meet Steve Kerr in the middle because, again, if you're doing this in a month, then you really have hurt his trade value. If this is all part of a process to look to get him on the floor and see if they can kind of shake him up a little bit. I mean, you know, Bob Knight's old saying, right, about backside meets bench. Bench sends message to brain. Brain sends message to play harder. Like that, like that's kind of, if that's the process that you're working on here, okay, then that's okay. I'm okay with that. But, and I don't think this is the case, but if this is Kerr throwing in the towel with Kuminga altogether, that's really bad for the Warriors. Because if the Warriors are going to add anything to this team at the deadline, Kuminga is going to be the high salary key piece that goes out.
Yeah.
And so he needs to have some kind of value. But again, let's not freak on the trade value thing when we're so far in advance of the trade deadline mm-hmm. right now. If it's part of a larger approach, I'm okay with it right now. However, if you're going to give up on him and bury him, that I'm not okay with.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, also a contributor at NBA TV. All right, I'm looking at the Western Conference, and I want to ask you about one team and then tell you what I texted to my group about another team. Where are we with the Dallas Mavericks? And then am I crazy because I texted Guru and Evan 2 days ago and said, tell you what, Memphis has got some chemistry right now.
So I'm
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Glad you brought up both of those teams, Steiny. Okay, and I say that, first of all, let's start with Dallas. Jason Kidd started the season with this ridiculous, stupid idea, all right, of that somehow, some way, Cooper Flagg was going to play point guard. And it was ridiculous when he decided on it. It was even worse than when they actually did it. And it was a mess for everybody, including Cooper Flagg. Kidd has gone the other way in the best way possible. Listen, if you're the Mavericks, it'd be great to hang around in this thing and have a chance when Kyrie comes back. And that may happen, and they may rally here, and it may not happen. But whatever you're going to do, it's got to be a function of what's best for Cooper Flagg, period. Not what's best for anybody else. What's best for Cooper Flagg for his future? What they've done lately, Flagg at the 4 and Davis at the 5, is best for Cooper Flagg. The other thing that they've done, which I've loved, listen, D'Angelo Russell's been a mess. You watch this guy, I mean, you guys had him there for 6 months. You watch him dribble out shot clocks. It's enough to make you want to binge and purge. I mean, it's disgusting. Okay? They tried it. It didn't work. Brandon Williams just probably is a little DePaul dominant himself, but is a little erratic. Take a rookie, Ryan Nemhard, and make him the starting point guard. And you know what? He's been really good, and it's been really good for Flagg. So I look at Dallas here and feel like, you know what, this looks better now than it has all year. I don't care what Anthony Davis says, what he wants to tell people, what he wants to shout from the rooftops. Guess what, my man? When you show up 23 pounds overweight, by the way, 23 pounds in 5 months, the amount of work the guy had to do to gain that kind of weight, I mean, somebody's got to tell him when he hits the white, it's the plate. Seriously. Like, it's. I mean, 23 pounds in 5 months, guys, I'm an expert at gaining weight. I don't think I can even do that. Anyway, but when you come in that out of shape, you're a 5. You're not a 4. You don't play a 4. So now they're playing him at 5. I like the fact that Jason Kidd doesn't care what position he thinks he is. They're paying him a lot of money. He's going to play the position they tell him to play. And now I think they're moving in the right direction. I think it's going to be interesting. Memphis Grizzlies. This is even more intriguing to me. This is intriguing to me, though, because they're looking a lot better. Everybody's buying into Thomas Isolo's approach, except for Ja Morant. And now they're playing really well in Ja Morant's absence, which tells me if they can go make some kind of Morant deal between now and the deadline, I think they're all in for it. Because the thing is, playing better without Morant in the lineup, guys buying into, and it's, listen, what Isolo's doing is really odd, these 5-for-5 switches. I don't love it personally, but they're starting to play better, and the team's got some depth, and it appears to be working. There's been a direct correlation in this team playing better and Zach Edey being back, and he's done a really good job for them. So I kind of look at it with Memphis. There's enough good young talent here to say, I mean, do we kind of, for lack of a better term, remove the turd in the ointment and say, you know what, Ja Morant's been the one making all the trouble for all this time, and as talented as he is, he's not going to fit with this style of play. And should we explore his trade value now before it diminishes that much more? Because it's nowhere close to what it was, and it may not be out there, and it may be a matter of taking somebody else's problem. But I saw a little something on this today, and I had heard some rumblings of this. When you look at how well Miami played in the absence of Tyler Hero, when you look at how well Tyler Hero would fit with Memphis and how they play now, and then when you look at Miami's quest to go try to bring in superstar players, and if any organization could turn Ja Morant out attitude-wise, work ethic-wise, all of those things you need to get the most out of Morant, Miami would be the most likely one. That's just something I think that everybody should keep a little bit of an eye on.
Man, that's good stuff, BG. I love that for both parties, Hero and Ja. I got to do this. The Clippers were one game away from the Western Conference Finals last year. But, BG, if you had a sledgehammer, which would you take it to first, the Kings or the Clippers?
Well, listen, at least the Kings have draft picks, Darryl, right? I mean, at least they have their picks going forward. Clippers don't have any picks. So I would have to say it would be the Clippers. What's happened with the Clippers here, and listen, it's the thing that nobody talks about. This aspiration scandal has created a hangover over the entire organization. There is absolutely a rift between Kawhi Leonard, his uncle, and ownership and management with the Clippers. Okay, a lot of what has gone on here has been Kawhi and his uncle Dennis's fault, and they refuse. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to cooperate. They don't care. They literally do not care. And it's created a rift that has carried through to the rest of the team. Listen, I'll say this. I know you didn't ask me about this, but I'm going to pontificate on it for a minute. I actually cut the Clippers a break with this whole Chris Paul thing. And I know a lot of the former players are freaking out and wanting to say the Clippers did this awful thing to him and his legacy. Guys, he's the best player in franchise history. They would love to raise his number to the rafters at their new building sooner rather than later. He's an icon there. Think about how bad it had to be for them to send him home in the middle of a road trip. And we're not talking about guys that had never been in the league before. We're not talking about a coach like Thomas Isolo with Memphis, who's brand new to the league, right? We're not talking about him. We're talking about Ty Lue, championship ring, been around forever. Lawrence Frank, basketball lifer as a front office guy. These are guys that get it. Jeff Van Gundy. These are guys that get it. They couldn't have Chris Paul around. And yes, there's been published reports about what he's been doing with Van Gundy, and Van Gundy absolutely called him out in front of the whole team. But that was with Van Gundy, to my understanding, that was the last nail in the coffin. He'd been doing that for a while with undermining the coaching staff. And to my understanding, his treatment of Brooke Lopez was disgusting for a guy. And that's the thing about Chris Paul and all this. Chris Paul wants to talk about the respect he's offered for what he's accomplished. Well, that's great. But our guy Tony Soprano, those that want respect, give respect. Brooke Lopez deserves plenty of respect for his NBA career, and Chris Paul was having none of that. So I look at this, and I kind of cut the Clippers a break. With all that said, if I'm the Clippers and I don't have this thing where I'm hanging around in the play-in, at least once we get close to the trade deadline, I want to find out what they can give me for Kawhi. I want to find out what they can give me for James Harden. Heck, Zubac is probably their most marketable player right now with the most trade value. I might see if I get multiple firsts for him. The Clippers have to do some kind of reload here. And salary-wise, no one talks about this. Salary-wise, they have a mountain of flexibility after next year. Guys are coming off the books, so they're not in bad shape contract-wise if they can figure out a way to get some picks and reload this thing a little bit. The problem for the Clippers is they used an antiquated way to build in this new CBA. They went the free agency route, and in this new CBA, it's infinitely more difficult to build a team through going out recruiting free agents.
BG, Warrior fan, man, that's good stuff. They want me to ask you, because we're big on size out here. We want it. Quentin Post came last year, and we knew he could shoot, but I just watch a young man fighting every night, and he'll lose some, BG, but what are you seeing from Quentin Post?
I think he's getting better, and I like that. And yes, he does lose more battles than he wins right now. But if you're going to get him to shoot like he shot the ball last night, yeah, it's worth it. Okay? The problem is when he's shooting 35% from three on the year and he's losing these battles, he becomes a net negative. And so the unfortunate thing with a kid like Quentin Post, till he becomes physically stronger, it's going to rely on how well does he shoot the three. because when he doesn't shoot it well, and he was 5 of 10 last night, when he doesn't shoot it well, he's a negative on both ends of the floor. And that's my concern with him. Again, good minutes last night, but he's going to have to get stronger here, and I just don't know. That's off-season work. I just don't think that's good work that's going to happen during the season.
Hey, Brian, as always, man.
He should hang out real quick. He should hang out with Anthony Davis.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Let him go eat with Anthony Davis, okay? And you'll see what happens to him quickly.
Hey, Geltzy, thanks as always. Really appreciate it. Look forward to the next time.
Anytime, guys. Always my pleasure. Two of my favorites. I'll talk to you both soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.